Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody here from Chicago. It's about 10:30 in the morning. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome Jason Myers. He is the Chief Product Officer at Adia Security. And once again, we have Mr. Rafael Matun. He is the CEO and the founder of Adia Security. Gentlemen, thank you for your time this morning. Let's go ahead and get started.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks
for having us. Rafael, I think we had you on a couple of podcasts before. Could you just kind of reintroduce yourself to our audience and just briefly talk about your company and what your product Judy is all about?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us again today. Rafael Matun, CEO and founder of Adia Security. We've built an all-in-one cybersecurity solution, which we've named Judy. Who's specifically designed for small and medium-sized businesses. We recognize that there are 3,500 amazing point products out there for the enterprise, but small business owners have different needs, and Judy takes care of that for them.
Excellent. Jason, can you kind of give a brief background about yourself and how you got started in Adia and kind of about your cyber background as well, too?
Yeah, certainly. So I'm Jason Myers, Chief Product Officer at Adia Security. I've kind of been in the tech world for the past 25 years. I started out in a former life as an engineer. I was an engineer for about 10 years and then made the transition over into various startups. Prior to Adia, I was involved in a startup that did cybersecurity but geared towards the consumer market. So we were more concerned with protecting families online and made the transition over to Adia in October of 2020. So my job is to kind of guide and bring to fruition the vision of the product. So taking into account what we hear from customers and partners and bringing that into the product roadmap and bringing those new features into the product.
Okay, excellent. Well, today's topic is on cybersecurity insurance. And as we all know, with the rise in ransomware attacks, companies are now needing some kind of financial, support in case they get hit. But trying to get a cybersecurity insurance policy is not quite as easy as like getting car insurance. It's a lot trickier these days, in fact, even harder to get insurance because a lot of SMBs, they have to be compliant to certain controls. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about that, but also how Judy can help an SMB get cybersecurity insurance by ensuring that they are maintaining a system of good checks and balances on their controls. So whoever wants to answer these questions, that's fine. Let's go ahead and get started. So what is cybersecurity insurance and why is it important?
Yeah, I can take it or you can take it, Rafael, but I think, in a nutshell, cybersecurity insurance is a policy that helps you in case of a breach. It can help recover lost data. It can insure you if a device is lost or stolen. And also help with the forensics of what exactly happened to see, what might have went wrong and to help you recover financially if you're held for ransom.
Okay. Now, what are the criteria for selecting a right cyber security insurance policy for a SMB?
Rafael, I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, you really want to look at your risk factor. So how much data are you sharing with outside organizations? What are you trying to protect internally? Obviously, the premium costs, you should definitely compare different policies, or have your legal team help you. There's, read the reviews. This is an industry that has just started. So like anything, there can be those that are very knowledgeable in this space when it comes to cybersecurity insurance and those that are just starting. So definitely this is one of those insurance plans, like you said. It's not like a car or a home or, liability insurance that have been around for, decades. This is brand new. And with that, you really have to determine what's the right fit for your business, but also ensure that you're picking a company that really is reputable and aligns to your needs as well as what you can afford.
Okay. Now, the interesting thing is you mentioned cyber risk. There are lots of different ways of really defining what risk is and how to calculate that. At Adia Security, how do you, for your prospects and for your clients, or even internally within your company, how do you define what cyber risk is and how do you actually calculate that? Is it just simply doing a risk assessment, gauging which digital assets are most prone to a cyber attack and that kind of stuff, or how do you actually quantify or what qualitative measures do you use for that in that regard?
Well, the simplest form that an auditor at an insurance agency will ask you is what cybersecurity tools are you using today? If the answer is none, you're at a very high risk. If the answer is just one of the pillars that are necessary to protect across your organization, that's where your the indication of your premium and the cost to you is going to either be pretty expensive or start to lower as you have other products that add that protection layer across your data and your network. With Judy, the way we've designed it maps back to what an auditor would look for, in that you do need to have some form of two-factor. You do need to protect your identity and how you're accessing cloud applications or those other companies that you're working with that are tied to your revenue. You need to have an endpoint. So, you know, the OEM version that comes with your laptop or desktop is usually not going to check that box. And then if you do have some form of a network, you need to be able to understand what traffic is coming into your network, who, how, and when. And so that's what's all been included in Judy and automated. And we also complement that with an automation for a cybersecurity report as well as compliance.
Okay, excellent. Now, is the cyber insurance, is that a growing industry in your opinion?
Unfortunately, some people are finding out about that a little bit too late. Just as an example, I won't name any names, but I do have a friend here who owns a fairly large retail operation in the Midwest, multiple locations across multiple states. And about 2 years ago, they were a victim of a ransomware attack. And the ransom that was wanted was $1 million. And this particular retailer said they made enough money to say, all right, well, we'll pony up and we'll pay that $1 million. But unfortunately, the feds won't allow you to do that. They don't allow negotiations with what they consider to be like a terrorist organization, which is what they consider this particular ransomware attack. So because they had no insurance, they basically had to replace all of the equipment that was lost. I think it was to the tune of about $2 or $3 million. And having a conversation with him, it's like now he's cybersecurity insurance is on his radar, but only because he suffered that attack in the first place.
Okay. Now, what's the future of cybersecurity insurance? Is it going to be a growing trend? Is it going to be something that's going to kind of stay stagnant? I think it's going to keep growing as the number of cyber attacks keep growing in terms of complexity. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's going to continue to grow. I mean, they're estimating it to be over a $20 billion industry by 2025 with some, you know, over 25% growth year over year. So it's definitely going to grow because, again, it's brand new. It's something that's just really come to light over the last 5 years and has been picking up steam. You should definitely look at cybersecurity insurance. We're just you should be aware that, you know, like Jason mentioned, waiting until after a breach is the worst thing you can do because you won't get the coverage. And even if you do after you've resolved everything, move forward with a coverage, it's going to be a higher premium because you've already been breached. So it's kind of that chicken or egg, right? And the fact that you should definitely get the tool sets in to protect the organization as well as, yes, parallel to that, start working with an insurance agency that offers this, but you really don't want to wait until after it's happened. At that point, it's too late. So I think people are learning that this is another way to protect their company, because inevitably, anything could still happen. You know, a breach doesn't necessarily have to happen at the data layer or the system layer. They could simply get into your bank account and take a bunch of money. So even there within the premiums, there's different areas you can add to the cybersecurity insurance to protect all aspects of your business. And that's what we're encouraging small businesses to look at, but also put in the right tool sets so that the underwriters give you a fair chance.
Okay, excellent. Now, there is, I think, in my opinion, a lot of confusion as to a good insurance carrier. I know you could probably go to your local State Farm agent. They'll probably offer you something, or you could probably go to Hiscox Insurance. They'll come up with something. And then I've talked to other cyber industry professionals where they say you need to get, like, a actual cybersecurity broker to kind of help you tailorize your own program. In your opinion, what is the best way to do that? I mean, should you just go to your local State Farm, say, get me a plan, and that's going to be good enough? Or how should someone or an SMB owner go ahead and start this process?
Actually, most of your home or auto insurance companies don't offer cybersecurity. If they do, it's probably in its infancy. I would look for those larger global organizations, because a cyber attack is going to happen from a global level, not regional, like something in Michigan or Illinois, if there's a breach. So USI, AXA, the large one in the UK, they all have plans. Many insurance agencies work with those organizations that have been doing this for a while or have a very large global reach. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it's whoever you're comfortable with and understands your business and obviously is willing to protect you if there is a breach, as well as not break your bank on the cost.
Yeah, so going to that point, how much on average does a premium cost for a good coverage in, from what you've seen so far? Or looks like some ballpark numbers.
I'm guessing that's going to be all over
the place. Yeah, it's going to be all over the place. I mean, if you say you want $1 million coverage or $5 million or $10 million, the premiums are different. And again, it depends on what company, but I mean, on an annual basis, you should be looking at anywhere from $5,000 to $30,000. It just depends on what dollar amount you want, not necessarily what the cost is, Robbie. So that's a very loose range. It's really unique, almost like when you you do a car or home insurance to the specific company.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm also assuming that, you know, there's going to be a hard look at the tools you're using to protect your systems, as well as where you're at in your compliance. You know, how far along you are in compliance, or whether you're fully compliant or 70% of the way there. I'm sure those factors will also play into what kind of rate you're going to pay for cybersecurity insurance.
Okay. Excellent. Now, just a side question here before we go into the other main one here. Suppose a SMB is hit with a cyber attack and they file for their claim. Do the insurance companies really make it? I've heard stories where they make it literally a living hell for the customer to get their payout. And in some cases, it's just as easy as getting in one day. How hard is it to get that payout? Do they make you go through a long and cumbersome process? Does the insurance company make the SMB go through a series of audits to make sure they had everything in place before a payout is done? What's your experience on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have an answer in terms of, like, timelines or, just like any other insurance where you got water damage, and the insurance company might come back and say, "Well, you didn't have the flood insurance, you know, added on to that." So I'm sure it's going to be a function of what coverages you opt for, and you know, how that lines up, whether you were in fact compliant or not compliant, or whether you were using the appropriate tools and taking the appropriate measures to try to prevent it. So I think there's a lot of factors that probably go into that.
Excellent. Now, why is cybersecurity insurance so important for small businesses? I mean, businesses are starting to realize it, but there are other businesses that say, hey, we really don't need it. It's just an extra expense, as you just alluded to the premium cost. Why is it so important? I mean, do you tell your customers or Judy that it's really important that you get this, or can you elaborate more on that, please?
I mean, to put it simply, go ahead, Raphael, sorry.
The small businesses are being breached, Ravi, in ways that we've never seen before. So the size of the organization really has no relevance. I think that what people are realizing, the hackers or the good guys or the bad guys, is it doesn't matter if they have 10 employees or 1,000 employees, they're still somehow intertwined with those larger organizations or have sensitive data that is very valuable. So to know that 88% of small business owners already feel vulnerable, according to SBA survey, and that over 70% of them don't have tool sets, because again, you know, for those of us that have been in the enterprise, we've been dealing with cybersecurity for 20 years. Small businesses, they've heard about it, they may have purchased a point product, they may have done some things, but this is the first time ever that in the last 2 years that it's a cyber war. It's not really an attack anymore, and they're smack dab right in the middle of it. So they absolutely need to protect themselves with the right tool sets. But yeah, if they're a contractor or working with the DoD and that's where their revenue comes from, it's probably a good idea to have cybersecurity insurance. Or if they're working with a very large enterprise global company and, you know, that's how they're transacting their business, again, the insurance it puts another layer like you would on any other insurance policies to their organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, you know, to put it simply, an attack, quite frankly, could just suddenly end your business, right? Whether it's a ransom that's cost prohibitive to pay, or all of your customer data gets leaked and you lose, you know, all goodwill and faith in your business, it could, you know, in reality be, you know, almost an end to your business itself.
Okay. Now, another side question here. In the world of cybersecurity, you know, one of the big terms that we hear out there is being proactive, okay? That means trying to take all the measures you can to mitigate the risks of being a victim. I mean, we all can become a victim, but the key thing is how do you minimize that risk? Now, there's this thinking that among small businesses that just because we have cybersecurity insurance, we're covered no matter what. And that kind of then lets them fall back into reactive sense of thinking, saying, hey, well, we're covered. We don't need to have all these controls in place anymore. What are your thoughts on that? Have you ever come across a client where they kind of have that mindset?
We've had the reverse. They can't get the cybersecurity insurance because they don't have the right tool set. So I think that the days of you were able to get cybersecurity insurance with maybe just an endpoint or antivirus are gone. The underwriters are very aware now that you need multiple layers of protection like we have in Judy to be able to even get cybersecurity insurance. So whether they already have it right now, when their renewal comes up, they're going to have to it's literally a 20-page document. You have to fill it back out again, and you have to associate all of the products that you're using, and they even call out identity management, two-factor, endpoint protection. Do you have a network? How are you protecting your network? So, yes, if you had gotten it 4 years ago like I did, it was a two-pager document. When the renewals come up, they will be required to restate everything in a much more detailed document, and that's where Judy's automated cybersecurity insurance report maps back to that. But I would say what we're hearing now is customers thinking that originally, now coming to us saying, I can't get the cybersecurity insurance because I don't have these other components that are necessary and required. So how do you help me? So I think long way of saying it, yes, you could have heard that over the last 2 years. That goes away if they already have a premium with the renewal, especially with the documents that we're seeing from the same company as we saw a couple of years ago. Or they just, they won't, the insurance agency will say, we're not going to be able to protect you. You don't have anything. Or you just have an OEM endpoint.
Okay. Now, do you help your clients actually fill out these questionnaires as they start the application process for cyber insurance?
Well, we empower our partners like you. And like Judy has a output report in our automated compliance framework that shows everything and is written through an auditor. So we encourage our partners to share that with their customers. If someone comes up to us directly, we still try to guide them back to partners, but if they're more of a, no, I want to work directly with Adeia, yes, we would jump in and help them. It's pretty automated in Judy, so it's not a heavy lift. It's just having the ability to fill out all of the different questions and then get that audited report that they can give to a cybersecurity insurance underwriter.
Excellent. Now, let's get into the crux of cybersecurity insurance. So the main question here is, what does it cover?
The coverage covers if there's a, let's say the FBI gets involved because there was a substantial amount of money taken out of a bank account, local law enforcement. So investigations looks at data recovery. So if for some reason your entire customer database or all of your financials got out into the world, identity recovery, damages to your customers or partners, that goes back to what we said earlier. Some of the most lucrative information is not necessarily that small investment firm. It's all of their LPs that might be multi-million dollar funds or very famous investors. And that gets them to the next layer of information or even enterprise companies. It can cover all the legal fees because there may be something, someone does blame your company and now it goes into a legal aspect of it, as well as, you know, helping you in notifying what you should do or how in a remediation aspect of notifying your customers and partners. And then lastly, if there is a lawsuit and there needs to be some form of a settlement, that's usually included as well. The key here is it really depends on what your business does and what you want to include. So, again, if you work with the federal government, you probably need to have all of those. If you are a retail store, you may just need a couple of them. So it really is driven by the business owner on how many of those things that they need, which can increase your upfront costs, but have a higher payout when you need to rely on it.
Okay, excellent. Now, what are the other things that cyber liability insurance can also pay for? I mean, there's this thing called direct costs and indirect costs. Can you kind of differentiate the two and maybe kind of do a deeper dive into the indirect costs?
I'm not sure which category it would fall into, but if you're talking about, you know, additional things that an insurance policy might cover, forensics is another good one because you might get breached, but you don't know exactly what happened. So if you're covered in that department, forensics teams can, you know, they can help you determine what the extent of the breach was and, you know, if customer data got leaked or whatever else. So it can be expensive to dig into exactly what happened and you know, what was compromised.
Okay, excellent. Now, what's not covered by cyber liability insurance? I mean, I think a lot of SMB owners, they kind of get this feeling, okay, well, we have it, now we're covered with everything. But there's got to be some things that cyber insurance doesn't cover unless you pay extra for that. So could you please give some examples of what's not covered?
Things that are intentional acts, like fraud, criminal conduct, something done by you or an employee, prior acts of knowledge. So if they can see that there was something that you knew about that was a vulnerability or breach and you didn't do anything about it and now are trying to make a claim, subsidiaries outside of your control, like anything that is a majority ownership or management control can feed into that, and then obviously any criminal proceedings. So if for some reason you may not cover claims brought in from, you know, criminal proceedings or criminal actions, as well as potentially it goes all the way to a grand jury, because again, that's where it starts to get more into the formal legal process, not covering, you know, your legal fees. And then it may not, they may also, again, this is the fine print, they may also not pay out any interruption to your business. So as Jason mentioned, if your company's held a ransomware, they might pay out the ransomware, but they're not, and if that took 10 to 20 days and you lost hundreds or millions of dollars, they may not cover it if it wasn't in your policy. So you have to be very clear on what you want, just as you would when you're buying a house next to a lake or in your hurricane area or, you know, tornado alley. How far do you want that protection? And that's kind of what you need to make sure you understand of your business and relay that to the insurance company so that they can include it in your premium. If you don't, or you didn't understand what you were signing up for, those are areas that potentially still impact you financially, even after they've paid out whatever they're going to on those other items we mentioned earlier.
Okay, excellent. Now, we keep hearing about security breaches every day. You know, someone's been hacked into, this ransomware attack, blah, blah, blah. But what are some of the typical examples of potential cyber attacks that you see are prime candidates to get like a quick pay up for the SMB owner in case they're hit?
The ones that we've seen, even with people that have come up to us as customers of Judy after the fact, it is really the easy point of entry is, you know, weak or reused passwords. And, you know, they get into your email and request a wire transfer or a bank transfer. And that's probably the easiest hit and the easiest way to get in and do some damage.
So, yeah, phishing is one. The other would be what we're seeing is a high rate of SMS messages now, where there's an authoritative tone and you get a text message. Obviously, if you don't recognize the number, it's probably not Rafael Matone. But as we're all moving quickly in the digital world, that is another way to send you a link, have you click on it, and then grab everything on your phone or on your device. So data breaches is the big one, attacks on computers. And then, yeah, the whole holding the organization hostage with ransom payment, like we saw the university, Lincoln University, where they just couldn't come up with the money, so they shut down the college.
Yeah, that was really I was really surprised about that. That was really shocking because that kind of hits your home in Illinois. I think the college was around for like 110 years, and just to hear that a cyber attack brought it down to its knees is really shocking. But in that regard, I know that a lot of these cyber companies are not paying out for ransomware attacks. But Rafael or Jason, what about cyber extortion? I mean, the cyber attacker is not simply stopping and locking up your files, but they're threatening now that we're going to take your files public or we're going to sell them on the dark web. Will cyber insurance cover that as well, too?
Likely not. It depends on the premium that you've selected and how granular you got on, you know, what action a hacker could potentially take against you. Once you've made the payment, they could still take the same action. So there's the double-edged sword when it comes to ransom and their demands. You know, you've seen companies that go quiet and their security team tries to resolve it, or, you know, they bring out an outside service to see if they can unlock the computers and everything. It's very difficult. It's very timely, but I guess at the end of the day, if you do pay the ransom, it doesn't mean that maybe in a year your data still won't end up on the black web. There's no way to guarantee it, and most insurance plans won't cover that.
Yeah, and in fact, if you do pay the ransom, the likelihood of you getting hit again goes way up. They get
right.
you once, they're gonna try it again.
Okay. Now, this brings up another question that kind of came to my mind here. We know that, I think, was it last year, the Biden administration came up with a new executive order, and we know that the government is really slow to respond to the cyber threat landscape, as well are the laws in this country. It's just a very slow process to keep up with what's happening out there. How is the cybersecurity insurance industry keeping up with the ever-changing cyber threat landscape? As new threat variants come out, as new breaches come out, are they in tune with all that's going on, or there's still a large amount of lag time as we're seeing with the government and with the laws are being put forth in action?
Well, the insurance agencies aren't looking at what type of vulnerabilities are happening. They still stick to the same framework that we see all CISOs go with, which is, do they have two-factor? Do they have endpoint protection, identity management, network protection? That's about as far in the weeds. And are they using product lines that are approved and reputable and have customers and, you know, all those aspects? That's pretty much what the insurance companies, at least what we're seeing today, are looking for. When you look at what the federal government has done, it has made a drastic change, and actually pretty quickly, around compliance. So with CMMC, the level one and level two has become very restrictive for those contractors that work with contractors that work the federal government. The same with NIST, which is another form of compliance that feeds into HIPAA, SOC 1, SOC 2, CIS, and really is about that the days of not having cybersecurity as part of the framework is gone. So I guess long way of answering your question, the regulatory items that the government has been pushing out is, for many of us in the industry, at such a fast pace, we've not seen this before. And I go back to the fact of, it's not really a cyber attack anymore. It's a cyber war. And, you know, I know there's different definitions of war, but this is a technology digital war. And with that, I do see that these frameworks are pushing way down into small business customers and fairly quickly, because it's not really the government that has to manage it. It's those enterprise organizations that are trying to be compliant and working with the federal government, or hospitals, universities. They some way or form, directly and indirectly, are tied to the federal government. And now that they're being held to those compliance frameworks updates that just happened, so are the SMBs that they work with, regardless if it's a marketing company or a facilities company, technology. They all have to move quickly now to have that compliance in their framework, or they could potentially lose their revenue stream.
Okay. Well, that brings up another question. What are some typical frameworks you recommend to customers that they should follow to make sure that they do have the right controls in place? Now, obviously, one could do a risk assessment and just say, hey, we have everything in place, we think we're good, but you need to have some kind of established framework to prove to an insurance carrier that, you know, you do know what you're talking about. So what do you recommend? The business frameworks or the frameworks prescribed by the CCPA, GDPR, HIPAA? What's your recommendation?
I guess the starting point would be, where does your revenue come from? So are you being asked to do a compliance framework? And if so, then which partner can you work with? We love our partner community. This is what they do. They jump in and help these SMB customers and then complement the framework with Judy. So you can always Google things. You can always look for things. It can become very frustrating. But if your RFP that you're trying to win business with or the companies that generate revenue for you say that you have to be some form of a compliance framework, our guidance is do not shortchange this or try to do it yourself. It can be very complex. If you have the right channel partner, they can make it a lot easier for you, especially and how we've automated it in Judy, and it doesn't break the bank. And so, you know, it's another thing that we know small business owners need to worry about, but they shouldn't take it on themselves. If you're looking for more of a checklist of like the 5 to 10 things you should do as a small business owner, we have it on our website. You know, it talks through a lot of the things that are in Judy or even some of the soft compliance rules that you should do, right? Like onboarding or offboarding your employees and ensuring that you've disabled all of their access across every system, which a lot of companies forget. And that's a potential way of getting into a breach. Also that you're not, you know, potentially not documenting things where when that compliance or insurance company does say to you, well, we need this, this, and this, you're now scrambling. So I would, you know, check out our website on the 12 things small businesses can do for like a list, but we always encourage customers to work with a partner. If you don't have a partner, we have an amazing partner community and we can refer one based on a specific compliance framework because some of them only work on certain compliance frameworks or those that can help with general compliance as well as looking at Judy as a solution.
Okay. Now, you had mentioned that Judy has some kind of reporting feature that she'll output to you once you're kind of done your due diligence for doing your assessment. Can customers or prospects see that report online? Is there a place where you have like a sanitized report where people can see what's being outputted from Judy?
Yeah, once they log into Judy, Judy's compliance dashboard is where they or their partners will put in all the information, either tied to a specific compliance like PCI, CMMC, HIPAA, or the framework for cybersecurity insurance. Once they've completed that, yes, they push a button and an output report, a very formal output report comes for either the framework or for cybersecurity insurance, and they can give that to their auditor under the cybersecurity insurance. And we've seen over and over again, they'll get a lower premium. And then for a compliance framework, they can attach that document to an RFP or give it to their enterprise company, as an example, on a quarterly basis.
Okay, excellent. Now, another question is, now, not every company is going to need cybersecurity insurance. A lot's going to depend on what industry you're in. But what are some of those typical SMBs that need cybersecurity insurance? Can you give a breakdown of who really needs it the most?
I mean, really, it's anyone that handles any sensitive information whatsoever, whether it's financial information, customer information, credit card information. If you're handling sensitive information, then some form of cybersecurity insurance is a must.
Okay. Are there any other specific instances where insurance is needed other than just handling data and storing data?
You usually see it with law firms, accountants, contractors mm-hmm. that work with larger organizations, marketing companies. Like Jason said, there's not really, I mean, any vertical that has externally facing, the brand or way they transform their data or software that they offer or services should definitely explore the insurance with cybersecurity. But at this point, I think we've seen over the last year, a breach can happen with anyone. We've seen colleges, the ferry boat service out on the East Coast. We've seen, the beef packing company. So it's in my opinion, they're just testing the waters. And yes, we will see more breaches, unfortunately, over the next 2 to 5 years because they're trying to figure out how far they can push the envelope and how much money they can make off of this as they're breaching these organizations.
Excellent. Now, as we wrap up our show here, how does IDEA help small businesses with cybersecurity insurance and compliance? And I mean, I know we've talked about in different areas and different questions here in the show, but can you give an overarching theme as to how you help the customer start this process to get cybersecurity insurance?
We don't directly. As I mentioned, we're agnostic of this. We have like partners that have a long list of insurance companies that they've worked with already. So that's usually how we get them in contact when they're looking for it. So yeah, they can contact us directly and we'll connect them with one of our partners who focuses on insurance and are able to help them with what policies they should look at, what costs are they trying to stay within, and then how Judy can map back to what they're needing if they don't have any cybersecurity tool sets in-house already.
Okay. Well, as we wrap up our show, what's the best way for people to contact you in case they want to learn more about Judy and how she can help with cyber insurance?
Yeah, they can go to our website, adeasecurity.com, or meetjudy.ai, and they'll see all the information there.
Cool.
As well as how to contact us. So they can get Judy or meet Judy are the two buttons at the top, and both of those lead to our amazing team, and we're happy to help as quickly as possible.
Sounds great. Jason, do you have any final thoughts on cyber insurance or anything you'd like to, any final bits of advice to our audience out here?
Just like Raphael said, you know, check out the website and, you know, meet Judy so you can see, you know, in detail all the different pillars that, we provide that replace a lot of the point products that are out there. And just learn a little bit more about how Judy can help.
Okay. Sounds great. Thank you for this for your time this morning, Raphael and Jason. Cyber insurance is definitely a timely topic, and I'm sure it's going to be a topic that's never going to go away as long as we have a cyber attacker. But thanks for your time, and we look forward to having you again on a future podcast.
All right. Thanks, Robbie.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.